Thank you, Lord. Thank you, gracious Master, for this moment. Thank you, Father God, for this very hour, Lord. Thank you, gracious Master, for just this very time, this moment, Father God, that you're here, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for your presence in this place today, like always before. But Lord, we know, Father God, that you always do a new thing, Father God. The word says, oh God, that you do exceedingly, abundantly, more than we can ever think or imagine, oh God. And so, Lord, we know one thing, that as we're in this place, whatever we believe you for, Father God, you can do more than what we imagine, oh God. You can do more than what we think you can do, Father God. And so we here, Lord, in this moment, Father God, believing you, Father God, to work in this place, in the hearts of your people in this place, Father God, in the minds of your people in this place, in the lives of your people in this place, oh God. And Lord, even in the lives of the families that are represented in this place, oh God, we thank you, Father God, for this moment, oh God. For Lord, it is the moment that we have right now, Lord, for tomorrow is not promised to us, oh God. And so, Lord, we take advantage of this moment, oh Father God, believing you, Father God, to just pour out your spirit and your anointing and your glory in this place today. And so, Lord, we believe you, Father God, for great things in this place today, oh God. Elevate our faith, elevate our thinking, elevate, Father God, our sight, our vision of you, yes, Father God. Let us see you, Father God, as you come down to manifest your presence in this place. And so we thank you, Lord, for this day, oh God, for this very moment, oh God. We yield unto you, oh God, and surrender to you everything about us, oh God. We pray, Father God, that you have your way and have your way in our lives today, oh God. Have your way, Father God, through your servant who's going to preach your word. Have your way, Lord, in our worship, Father God. Have your way, Father God, in our lifting of hands to you, Father God. Have your way, Father God, in our thoughts. Have your way in our minds. Have your way, Father God, in everything, Father God, that we have plan to do this day, oh God. We pray, Father God, that we stay in your will, Father God. And so, Lord, draw us, oh God, in your will. Draw us to your will. Draw us, Father God, in, Father God. Draw us in, Father God, from wherever we are in our thoughts, in our minds, from wherever we are, Father God. Draw us back to you, Father God, that we might be one in spirit as we worship you, Father God. Your word says, as they were in the upper room in one spirit, your spirit came down, Father God, on them, Lord, like fire, tons of fire, Father God. And so, Lord, we pray that as we are in one accord in this place, Father God, your spirit is going to be poured down upon us, Father God, as you prepare us for ministry outside these walls, Father God. We thank you, gracious Master, for the last week that has gone by. We thank you for the new week that is starting, Father God. We pray, Father God, that we glorify your name starting from this very hour, Lord, this very minute, oh God. We give you praise for your word that is going to come, Lord. We pray that, Lord, our hearts shall be yielded to you, oh God. Our hearts, Father God, shall be ready for your word as it is spoken to our hearts, oh God. Our hearts shall receive it, Father God, as it comes. For your word comes, Father God, to teach, rebuke, correct, Father God, admonish. Whatever way your word is going to come to every individual in this place, help us to accept it and take it with us, oh God, as it helps us to grow, oh God, in your faith. We give you praise for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
For those of us that are able to stand, let us stand for our responsive scripture reading. This morning we will read responsively from the book of Psalms, Psalm 146. Psalm 146. And the word of God reads, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being.
Do not put your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His spirit departs, he returns to his earth. In that very day his plans perish.
Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever.
Who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked he turns upside down. Together, the Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is the word of God.
To God be the glory.
Hallelujah.
All the praise and the highest praise. It's just awesome to be in the house of the Lord again today. You know, just woke, just being able to rise up in your right mind. Regardless of what you may be going through, just knowing God is in the midst, you can make it through whatever. Amen. Some things we attempt to do in our own strength. But when we wake up and realize and then let the Holy Spirit have his way and find out that God is in control and let him have his way, all is well. Amen?
Amen.
Let us bow our head and go to God in prayer. My Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day that you have made. My Heavenly Father, we acknowledge you as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all that dwells within it. We thank you, God, for your love, because you gave your only begotten Son, that whomever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. My Heavenly Father, I ask today and pray in the name of Jesus that you let your spirit reign and come down, that you let your word come down and reign in each and every one of our hearts and our minds, Father God, and just have your way with our inner man and woman. Help us, Father God, to connect with that inner man or woman, Father God, to manifest yourself from the inside out so we can magnify you, God, in every day of our lives. My Heavenly Father, I ask and pray in the name of Jesus that the words of my mouth today and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name I ask and pray. My Heavenly Father, I bind all minds to your mind, all wills to your will. And Father God, it's not about me. It's all about you. I thank you, God, because without you, Jesus, I can do nothing. I thank you, Lord, this day. Have your way in Jesus' precious and holy name. I ask and pray and give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. If you're able, would you stand with me and grab your Bibles? And we're going to go to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians, chapter 3. The book of Colossians, chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 1 through 17. Amen?
Amen.
And I'll be reading out of the King James translation. Are we there?
Yeah.
Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, which Christ, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God coming upon the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you, ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Foundation passage of scripture today, verse 17. Mm-hmm. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. This is the word of God.
To God be the glory.
Praise the Lord. The title we're called is, Are We Doing All in the Name of the Lord Jesus? Amen?
Amen.
You know, when you think about it, all through life and on this earth and in this society, when you think about it, we as consumers, we go to different manufacturers and we purchase things from them. Sometimes we have brand name prefaces. And so when we purchase these items and spend our hard-earned dollars on them, we want that name brand to stand behind what it said it's going to do.
Amen.
If a manufacturer said you're going to get 32 miles per gallon, I don't want to roll out of there getting 22. If these clothes supposed to last a while, I want it to endure.
Yes, yes, yes.
If a gadget or a piece of machinery supposed to last a lifetime, I want it to last a lifetime.
Yes, yes.
I don't want that brand name breaking down once I plug it up. Amen?
Amen.
I want you to stand behind your brand.
Yes, yes.
Stand behind your brand.
Uh-huh.
Believe it or not, folk, people want us to stand behind our name.
Amen.
The name we represent.
Yeah.
See, if we say we represent the name Jesus, trust me, folk in the workplace, in them cubicles, they want you to say, okay, I know a little bit about your book. Are you doing all in the name of Jesus?
Uh-huh.
They're going to check us out too.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We have to do everything we can, because in the name of Jesus, like some manufacturers have a recall, that means something didn't work.
Right.
Ain't no recall in the Jesus business.
Yeah.
So if we gonna stand by the name of Jesus, let's do all we can in the name of Jesus. Amen? See, when a person accepted Christ, we ought to have a new life. With a new life comes a new heart. We ought to live according to the new nature that we received. Amen?
Amen.
We should no longer use our bodies and our mouths and tongues in ungodly ways.
Yes.
We should no longer live in disobedience. See, that old self died with Christ, and the life we now live is the life hid with Christ in God. Because we have been redeemed, regenerated, and reconciled, we should set our mind where? On things above instead of things on the earth. See, that old way we used to live and the way we used to think, that's old news. That person is dead, and a dead man can't do wrong. He's dead.
Right.
How can he? He's dead. He can't sin. How can sin being a dead man?
Right.
See, the old man may be dead, however, but see, even though all things pass away, all things become new, we still walking around in these bodies.
Yeah.
We still got this mind. So it's going to take some work to break them old habits,
yes,
and to be transformed by the renewing of the mind.
Yes.
It's going to take some work to put into place a godly character,
yes,
in our life and to put on a new nature.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Verses 12 and 13, we're talking about nature. Paul said, and put on, dress up in it,
uh-huh,
as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Don't you glad Christ forgive you? What if he didn't?
Yes.
We have to forgive. How can we live a holy life and say we are of Christ if we don't forgive? See, the problem is also a lot of worldly folk try to mimic that type of character.
That's right. That's
they
right.
try to copy it or duplicate it. But see, only the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within you and the Lord Jesus Christ manifesting his life through you can anyone put on that type of character and behave in that manner with everybody, including your enemy. See, Jesus pointed out to the disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, he said we ought to love our enemies and even pray for those that persecute us. See, some people only love those that love them back. We have to do much more than that because we are a reflection of God. We got to forgive one another in the same manner that Christ has forgiven us. We have to love others the same way that God has loved us. Verse 14 and 15, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, till the also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Talking about love. Love leads to peace between people and among members of the body when you think about it. So we should let the peace that comes from Christ rule in our hearts. Let him be the arbitrator or the referee.
Amen.
See, we got to live in peace even though that may mean our differences or our opinions may not be eliminated. But it does require that we work together despite our differences.
Yes.
See, this kind of peace and cooperation can't come from a human effort because some things in us just not quite there. But it, with the Holy Spirit help to decide those arguments, it can, through the help of the Spirit, restrain us from those passions in that old nature that might try to stir up and threaten a relationship. See, the peace of God ruling in our hearts will settle any friction and strife that believers could remain strong and unified.
Yes.
We can't do that on our own.
Right.
God got to do the work.
Yes.
But at the same time, we have to do our part by not dragging that old man around, doing them old habits, keeping that old attitude and that old way of thinking.
Right.
Those things have been put to death. Laid aside. We have to put on the new man.
Yes.
Verse 16. Verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We have to have a heart rich with the word of Christ.
Yes.
We have to let the word of Christ dwell in our heart. We got to make room for his word within our heart. We got to let the word of Christ enter our heart, make a home in it, let him abode in it, not as a temporary guest, but let him settle down permanently within our heart.
Yes.
We have to do this, the scripture says, richly. That's abundantly. That's a whole lot. See, we don't want to be satisfied with a little word of Christ. We got to let the word of Christ dwell richly within us. Let the word of Christ direct every thought and decision that we make. We got to strive to take every thought captive, lead it to the obedience of Christ so that we can make and live out decisions in our lives not to glorify us, but to glorify him.
Yes.
See, the more of the word of Christ that dwells within us, the more we'll be able to get into that new character.
Right.
See, it is out of knowing his word and make it applicable by the wisdom given to us by the Holy Spirit. That's how we know right from wrong, what is evil and what is good. Those without this knowledge walk around in ignorance, thinking they are doing what is right before God, but actually they doing contrary to what the Word of God says.
Yes.
That can bring shame to the name of Jesus.
Yes.
How do we teach like this scripture says and admonish others if we do not know the Word of Christ or let the Word of Christ dwell in us? You can't do it. It is not enough to know the Word of Christ. We got to be living the Word of Christ.
Yes.
See, our very lives must be at home, in the dwelling place. His Word must be in us continually. Why? Because when people look at you, they must immediately see that our lives are indwelt by the Word of Christ. That's why it's important that believers are actively involved with a body of believers to help them grow and apply God's Word, to teach and admonish one another, instruct in righteousness, and then warn against unrighteous attitudes and behavior.
Amen.
See, we got to live and have our being in Christ. We got to let Christ Jesus live and have his being in us. For us, it ought to be like Paul said, to live is Christ. We got to be attached to the vine, get every word, all the nourishment from Jesus Christ. Speaking to ourselves in songs. Not every kind of song is a spiritual song.
All right now.
Some songs do not edify.
That's right.
But those songs that come from the soul edifying God, those the songs and hymns we ought to have in our hearts. Amen?
Amen.
Look at verse 17. It caught me 2 weeks ago, verse 17, we were traveling. It's an awesome verse. It says, whatever you do.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the young folk today, they use the phrase, whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
I may say, well, put a word in that whatever, because I'm not sure what your whatever means.
Yeah.
They say, well, you know, whatever, whatever. But see, what I'm talking about here, we're talking about whatever, it means everything.
Uh-huh.
This whatever means all things.
Yes.
So this is whatever is everything.
Uh-huh.
That we do, all is to be done in the name of Christ. Amen?
Amen?
See, unfortunately, however, it's not the case with how a lot of believers live. See, some believers have a tendency to try and separate their lives into sections.
Yes.
Some Christians want to divide their lives according to what they perceive as secular or sacred, something connected with God. There may be an overlap between the two, but for the most part, they are to remain separate from each other. See, some Christians don't put into practice or apply what they learn in church to what they do at work and at home and those other outside activities. Worse than that, there seems to be little understanding that what they profess to believe about God should be also applied or applicable in how they live their lives way outside their door, outside of church. See, I don't know about you, but I ran into some folk at work. You may have met some, go to school with them, or have a chance to associate with them. They say, well, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian. But when you look at the behavior, you see unrighteousness. They cannot keep their mouth. They can keep their mouth clean at church, but it's foul at work.
Yeah.
Right.
They present themselves as humble people at church, but then they're self-centered in school.
Mm-hmm.
They portray themselves as thoughtful and caring at a Christian fellowship meeting, but at home you ought to hear them. They're selfish and demanding about everything.
All right.
See, if you question them about their behavior and say, look, woman or child of God, why are you acting like that? They make an excuse for it. They say, look, I'm okay with God. Why are you judging me? And then a person walking in faith have a tendency, unfortunately, to say, well, I don't want to appear judgmental. So then they let them get away with that. That's just a tactic people use to keep you from proclaiming the name of Jesus.
Amen.
If they're not walking the talk, they ought to be told about it.
Yes.
Because that impacts on the name of Jesus.
Yes.
See, the result is that the cause of Christ's name can become blasphemed, and it hurts a professing believer when they get out and witness before the world. See, verse 17 destroyed all that difference that folk talk about between the secular world and the sacred. Because it says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving him thanks to God and the Father by him. There can't be a separation in life. Everything we do is to be done with God. Everything. Every word and every deed must be done in the name of the Lord Jesus and done with thankfulness in the name of Jesus. See, people in society have a tendency to just put a label on a name or like it's insignificant at all. They just your name, so they just call you by your name. But see, in the name of Jesus, that represents a whole lot more. The name of Jesus represents authority. It represents who Jesus is and what Jesus came to do and all that Jesus will accomplish. In the book of Matthew, an angel told Joseph, the husband of Mary, and she, Mary, your wife, will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Book of Acts, Peter was bold. He said, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This is the name of Jesus. Jesus made it clear himself in John 1 and 12. Jesus said, but as many as received him, John is talking, to them gave he power to become what? The sons of God. Even to them that believe what? On his name. See, even in the future, this name means something, because it will be the name of Jesus that every knee shall bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This command is similar to the command when we pray in the name of Jesus. And whatever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So we ought to pray according to Jesus' will. We have to be confident in receiving what we ask. So in everything we do in word or action, we ought to do them in such a way that they will be according to Jesus' will. Also, the things we communicate to other people and the deeds that we are to be consistent with one another, just like Jesus will communicate, we have to do the same thing. Obviously, the greater the word of Jesus dwells in you, the easier it will be for us to carry out the command. Amen? Yes. See, the greater understanding of Jesus and his commandment, the greater will be our ability to live according to what he wants us to do. This is the essence of Galatians 2:20. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus is to seek his interest in our life instead of our own. Amen. See, the attitude we ought to have is, I want others to see the Lord Jesus Christ living in me. I want Jesus to manifest his life through me in what I say, what I write, and the deeds that I do. I want my light to so shine before men that they will glorify my Father who is in heaven, because their light is reflecting Jesus. We got to give thanks to Jesus because the two are connected. In his name and giving him thanks in every situation, in every area of our life. He is our perfect mediator. He enables us by the blood of the cross to come to the Father to worship and to present our petitions before his throne of grace, to receive his mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In fact, the word says, give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That can only be done if our hearts are connected and set on the Lord so that we can seek to understand life according to his direction and trust him for the future, even when we don't understand the present. See, if we come to understand the will of the Lord and are filled with the Spirit, we will bear the fruit of the Spirit, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever you do in word, that covers everything. You communicate. It covers the spoken and the written word. It is not only what you say with your lips, but also what you write out for other people to read. That can include sign language, because some of the sign language I've seen, I'm not sure what that's about. See, in the book of James, he talks about the tongue. James tells us the dangers of the tongue because it's powerful, yet it's difficult to control. James makes several analogies about how small yet powerful the tongue is. Like a bit in a horse's mouth or a rudder on a ship, it's small, but like a spark, it can set a whole forest on fire. It's small, but very dangerous. See, but James summed it up also in verse chapter 3. He said, with the tongue, what we do is bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brother James said, these things are not to be. When we are actively focusing about what we are supposed to do and put the proper effort into it, we will bless the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
If we are not careful, that's when we will say anything that comes to our mind because it's said in the heat of the moment. See, it's easy to praise the Lord when you come to a worship service.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, you got the music playing, you got the scripture reading, and you got the message. That helps you focus your mind so that you can truly bless the Lord with your tongue from your heart. But see, what happens when you get into your car and head home and get on 75 or 20 and a car jumps in front of you, almost causes you to have an accident? See, it's easy for angry thoughts to slip off your tongue. But see, we do all things in words, so I know there's no one here when someone jumps in front of them. All we probably do is say, praise the Lord, they're in a hurry, and help them get there, oh Lord, and thank you, I hope they get there safely, oh Lord, and we bless them, oh God. See, we don't go there because every word indeed, amen, everything that's in the scripture. See, now that may be a daily living, but it should not be. See, we need the wisdom from above so that we are continually putting off that old sinful nature and putting on the ways of righteousness. That includes how we speak. Verse 8 said it plain. But now ye also put off all these: anger, when they jump in front of you, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Says, lie not one to another, seeing that you have what? Put off the old man with his deeds. You know, in the book of Proverbs, it talks a lot about their tongue. And then it often gives a difference between using the tongue wisely and unwisely. For instance, in Proverbs 10:20-22, it says, the tongue of the righteous is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but the fools die for lack of understanding. It is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit of it. See, a major problem with our speech is that it really reveals what is in our heart, what we are actually thinking and how we view the world. See, people will say something ugly to you and then try to excuse it by saying, I didn't mean that. But see, that's really not true. Of course they meant it. That is why they said it, because they were thinking it. But see, let's not fall into that trap ourselves. Let's just be honest, and instead of trying to excuse or diminish the wrong we done, let's acknowledge it, repent, ask for forgiveness, and move on. See, Jesus even gives a warning about being careful what you speak. If you're writing in the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verses 35 through 37, Jesus said, "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by the words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Amen. See, everything the scripture says about the use of our tongue is also applicable to what we communicate in our writing. Since a letter or a note is to be written by hand, or you can type it. See, that has to be delivered or mailed. You can put more thought into that before you send it off. But with all this electronic communication that's going on, right, things called an email and the IM or the instant message, and you got the phone texting, and you got the blogging and everything, that really increased problems for written communication. See, written communication lacks the expression of an emotion that you get when you're speaking with somebody. See, that electronic communication can send out what you write instantly. It can be a good thing or an advantage, but it can also be a disadvantage when you respond too quickly without thinking carefully about what you're going to say. See, a written letter has the advantage because you can delay it from sending it. You can just tear it up and say, "Oh no, that's too deep. I'm not sending that out." You can't do that when you hit that send button on that computer and on them telephone that you hit send on. See, that electronic can broadcast your message to the world in a minute. That's an advantage, but also a disadvantage if you're not careful about what you write. I hear horror stories all the time about people hitting the wrong button and sending an email to the wrong group of folk. And then to make it worse, some of them folk they send it to hit a button called forward, and it go even more places. Right, and then they got them blogs out there. Those are problems, because what is written is available now to a whole lot more people that the writer did not intend to see. What's the solution? Don't use your Facebook like a diary. You know, if you don't want the world to see it, don't post it where the world can see it. Paul even summarized this thing, and we didn't even have communication like this back then. He said in Ephesians 4:29, it's a good principle. Paul said then, to settle that problem, even though we're in 2013, he said, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Yes. If what you say or write does not glorify God or keep with his standard, don't say it and don't do it. Be a positive witness for Jesus that will build up others with what you say and what you write. That scripture says, whatever you do in deed. What is deed? We're talking about work, your action, behavior. It is referring to all the actions of behavior, all the general principles that apply to whatever you do in word. They're applicable to what you do in your deed. Your behavior also communicates, sometimes louder than what you say. If you're going to talk the talk, then we have to walk the walk. I can't profess with my lips I'm a believer, but then you see me on Illinois Avenue, and I'm with a woman who got hair that goes that way, and y'all know my wife has short. That makes no sense to me, because I'm not, that language speaks lies. I'm talking it on Sunday, but if that happens, I'm with the wrong person, so that makes no sense. Right. We have to not let our body language overrule what we say. Yeah. Somebody said, if you say you saved, act like you saved. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Glad I can use it as an example. Praise the Lord. See, Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. That way we can glorify God the Father in heaven. Deeds, that means everything. Not just church work, not just spiritual deeds or spiritual action. This includes everything, your behavior at work, school, social events. It includes even your daily living. We're talking about how you drive your car, how you shop, how you cook, how you eat, your behavior while doing your chores around the house, buffing your floors, doing the dishes, shoveling snow, mowing the lawn, taking out trash, all in the name of Jesus. We are to live our lives in a manner that is consistent with his character and his will. Finally, church, how can we live in such a way that all is done in the name of Jesus? Make sure you understand who Jesus actually is and his character and his work. And by faith, identify yourself with Jesus, who has redeemed, regenerated, and reconciled you to God. As one who was raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above and set your mind on things above and not on the earth. Put to death the old habits and ways of thinking that belong to the old man. Put on the virtues of the new man. Make an effort to save the word of God richly and let it dwell within you. Amen. If these things are being done, then you will also be making sure that you will do all in word and deed, and it will be done in the name of the Jesus Christ, and you will want to honor him and fulfill his will, which ought to result in thanksgiving to God through him. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let us pray. My Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much, Father God, for all you have done and are doing in our life. My Heavenly Father, where we may have fallen short, Father God, we ask that the Holy Spirit reveal it to us and that we act on it, Father God, bringing you glory and honor to your name in every facet of our life. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray and give thanks. Amen and amen.
More than we can ever think or imagine, oh God. And so, Lord, we know one thing, that as we're in this place, whatever we believe you for, Father God,